mowers, trailers, and farm and ranch equipment.
All right, here we go. Rangers and Yankees, 5:30. Pregame starts right now, but we're going to take this 30 minutes, and we'll join first pitch just after 5:30. Joined by John McClain, Hall of Fame writer, Houston Chronicle. With us, Paul Catalina, I'm David Smoke. John, it appears the Cowboys, they not only did they extend Lyle Collins, which was great for him, but it's imminent with Zeke, and I'm not sure. In the end, do you think he's going to end up with money that's very similar to Todd Gurley?
Yeah, I think he'll get his money, and they're running out of money. I don't think you'll see any others till after the season. What we've seen is true, $90 million, it depends on the guarantee, how much he gets in the first 3 years, because odds are he's not going to get the entire $90 million. But if he's happy, that's all that matters. And I'm sure Melvin Gordon is really jealous right now because Zeke Elliott's getting his money, Gordon's not. And the truth is, Elliott's a lot better player than Melvin Gordon.
All right, John, so the Texans – Man, they were busy on Saturday. I saw your tweet that your head was spinning. They made four trades, and two of them were just massive, bringing in Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, and then sending away Jadeveon Clowney. Do you like what they've done, or are they taking too many risks with their future?
We knew that Clowney was going to be traded. They've been trying to trade him for a month to Miami in a deal involving Tunsil. They targeted Tunsil, who turned 25 last month, who started for 3 years. He's been an outstanding young tackle, well-respected, popular in the dressing room. If he hadn't been the subject of that video released on draft day of him smoking pot in a gas mask in college, he might have been a top-five pick. As it was, he dropped to number 13. Miami took him, and he was terrific for the Dolphins. And so they got him. They got Kenny Stills, the Dolphins' best receiver, who's averaged 16 yards a catch in his career and also has had 21 touchdowns the last 3 years with Miami's quarterbacks. So they have those two players for their offense, and they gave up two ones and a two. And the truth is, they believe, whether people believe it or not, that those picks were going to be in the 20s, and that because they have an owner who will spend money, they can make up for it in free agency. And in the Clowney deal, they backed themselves into a corner. They should have brought him back for a season and then traded him before the next draft for picks, and they should have signed him to a contract before the deadline, which would have made him more tradable. As it is, nobody offered much for him at all because he's going to be a one and done in Seattle. And the Seahawks agreed not to put the franchise tag on him in 2020, which I think was ridiculous. But then he can be unrestricted and go to the highest bidder. And I don't think that's going to be Seattle based on their cap situation, but it probably could be a really bad team or maybe a good one like Indianapolis that has more salary cap room than any team in the league and probably will next year as well. They got two backups, an outside linebacker where they had no depth, and a third-round pick. The player I'm interested in, and I wrote about on our TexasSportsNation.com website, is an outside linebacker named Jacob Martin, who played for Matt Rhule 3 years at Temple. I contacted Matt last night, gave me some great quotes about him. And in the Seahawks' last six games, he had three sacks, like a little light went off. And Matt Rhule loves him, and people here, after they saw and we talked about Matt's quotes, they're kind of getting fired up about him. But all these new players, it's going to take them a little bit to fit in. It's not like they've had a training camp, and so I think the Texans – probably going to get off to another slow start like they did last year when they rode three before winning nine in a row.
But you think that with all, once the dust settles and everyone kind of gets themselves where they need to be, could it make them a better team?
It's making them a better offense. Their offense with Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, and then even the running back Carlos Hyde, who's averaged 832 yards rushing over the last 3 years, brought in as a compliment to Duke Johnson, who is a better receiver than runner. Those guys should help the offense be better. Deshaun Watson is ecstatic, thrilled. But the defense is not. They don't have Clowney. I'm writing a column right now What do they do to offset the loss of their second-best defensive player, especially against the run where he excelled? And he had 9 sacks, and they've got to have people come up and replace him, like Whitney Merciless or maybe Jacob Martin, and then they're going to have to manufacture some pressure with game plan strategy by defensive coordinator Romeo Crennel. So the defense is good, but it's not great. And the offense has a chance to be stupendous.
So, John, it's a timeshare situation running back because Lamar Miller is gone. What do you expect to see more of based on what they do? More of Duke Johnson or more of Carlos Hyde?
I think you'll see more Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson's 5'9 and 210. People talk about, well, he's undersized. Marshawn Lynch was 205. Terrell Davis was 205. Marshall Faulk was 200. I'm not saying he's those guys. I'm just saying you can be good and you can be durable and be small. Johnson's never missed a game in his 4 seasons. He's also 25. He's also averaged over 9 yards a catch in his career, and that's something they wanted to do, have a receiver out of the backfield with Lamar Miller. Where he would get worn down is he had to spend a lot of time blocking with pass rushers who get by the pass protectors and try to be the last line of protection before they get to Deshaun Watson. That's how a running back gets beat up. And so I think Duke Johnson's going to have a really good season. I think Carlos Hyde will kind of give him a breather and be a fill-in, and Watson will run a lot. He ran for 525 yards and 5 touchdowns last year, and I'm pretty sure he'll probably come close to that again.
John, it's a flurry. Who is the one that pulled the trigger and made the decisions? McNair's gone. No GM. Unfortunately, Bob McNair's gone. You know, it was a great owner. So is this something where right now Bill O'Brien pushes all the buttons?
Bill O'Brien pushes all the buttons. He's the de facto general manager. He makes all the decisions. He meets with Cal McNair, the owner, every day. If he has to do something big like Clowney and Tunsil, he runs it by Cal McNair. He explains it. He said, this kid is going to make a lot of money when he signs an extension. He said, we're going to lose a good player in Clowney. And, oh, by the way, I've agreed to give $7 million on his contract. Do you have a problem with that? Cal McNair will say, all right, tell me why that's good for us, and then he'll sign off on it. But O'Brien is the general manager. He's got a lot of people working with him in personnel, salary cap, / contract negotiations, football operation. But he's large and in charge.
Is that a conflict at all of being the head coach but also the general manager? I know the Belichicks of the world and others have major influence, but is that something that's a little bit, not dicey, but a little bit unique?
Now I'm not comparing Bill O'Brien to these coaches, but coaches that had final say on all personnel, Chuck Noll, Bill Walsh, Tom Landry, Vince Lombardi, all these guys used to have all the authority. And then it got away from them as the game changed. And it's not about titles, it's about responsibility. If the Texans win this year, win the division, win a playoff game, maybe 2, then people are going to think, well, it was worth giving up those picks. And if they bomb out and they don't, O'Brien's going to look like an idiot and everybody's going to want him fired or Cal McNair to hire a general manager anyway.
Aren't they going to hire a general manager anyway? I mean, once they get to the offseason?
No, they got no plans to hire GM. No, their GM is Bill O'Brien.
So not even in the offseason, they won't just get to it there?
No, they're running everything here now. All of a sudden, is being run like the Patriots. He hired a guy who'd been in New England the last 6 years. Jack Easterby is right-hand man. They're trying to turn it into Patriot paranoia and do everything like the Patriots. And I still think Patriots director, vice president of player personnel, Nick Caserio, will come here after the draft, even though O'Brien will have final say on personnel, because Caserio and Easterby and O'Brien are really good buddies from working together for years in New England.
Is that the guy that they tried to get earlier? Wasn't there somebody they tried to hire earlier that was some kind of conflict?
That's Nick Caserio, yeah. They tried to hire him, and the Patriots wouldn't let him out of his contract.
John,
He's coaching Jared Stidham. People don't realize this, but one of the reasons Bill Belichick didn't want to lose Caserio, he lost about five coaches to go to Miami with Brian Flores, and Caserio coaches a backup quarterback. Caserio's played a huge role in Jared Stidham's development, and he's done a great job. So is Stidham, because he's Tom Brady's backup.
I'm going to sit down tomorrow, have a lengthy film session with Matt Rhule at Baylor and, you know, defensive coordinator Phil Snow. We're going to go over the film. I'll discuss their depth chart with them and try to figure some things out offensively as well with Glenn Thomas and Jeff Nixon. Anything you want me to take to the film work with them and suggestions of what you saw with your Baylor Bears?
Well, the truth is I couldn't make that trip because I knew they were making a trade. I had no idea it's going to be four trades, six players, and three draft choices. If I had made that trip, I would have been spending the day in my buddy Cary Gray's bedroom at his desk typing on my cell phone, which I did 4 years ago when they opened the stadium and unveiled RG3 statue, and the Texans cut Case Keenum that day, and they signed Ryan Mallett, and I forced them to miss the unveiling. So thank goodness I did not go. But I will be there Saturday.
Well, you're
tell
lucky.
Matt I said thanks very much, and I'll keep him updated on Jacob Martin.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll ask him about him, in fact, when I visit with him for an interview next Monday. That'll be a good one to bring up. Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys.
That's John McClain, Houston. A little delay right